Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Zayin, and we got all the way up to the two dots near the top of the daf. Okay, we're about to finish the perek, so we sure hope that we're going to be getting in our Sir Richard. Otherwise, Doc, it looks like you're going to have to be on call. Gosh. Okay. So, we've been discussing the various dinim of Tanaim, the formulation of Tanaim, the difference between saying Im or Almenat, which is dependent on the Machlokes with Rebbe Meir and with Rebbe, the difference of saying Mehayom or Meachshav, or simply saying when an event occurs, and then the question of whether Zman HaShtar is Mochiach Alav, and precisely what it is that we zeroed in on specifically, where we get to the exact area of the machlokas between those who hold Zman HaShtar Mochiach Chalav, like Rabbi Yossi, and those who say you need to stipulate Beferish, Mehayom and Meachshav. So now we're up to the two dots. And remember the last machlokas that we had in the Mishnah, the discussion that we had, that is to say, I should say, because it's between the Mishnah and the Braita also, is the difference between saying Kitfu utnu get li ishti im lo bati mikan v'yad shnemasar chodesh versus im lo bati mikan v'yad shnemasar chodesh kitfu. So the second case where he said, if I don't get here within 12 months, then write the get and then give the get. So we have the machlokas over there where Rabbi Yossi says, well, you know, the question is, are you talking about the t'nai is if I don't come within 12 months, then write the get? Or is the issue, if I don't come within 12 months, doesn't matter when you write the get, but you give the get? And this was the way that we understood the machlokas. But the question is that there were really two cases. So if he said, kitfu v'tenu get lishti im lo bati mikan v'chnim asar chodesh, that was the last case. And they ended up writing the get, and they waited to give it. So then we found the machlokas understandable, because we took it to mean the words kitvu v'tnu get l'gishti im lo bati mikan v'achnei masar chodesh. The last part, tnu get l'ishti, according to Rav Yossi, is what he was saying im lo bati mikan v'achnei masar chodesh. But he doesn't really mind about the kitvu. But it's not 100% clear that Rabbi Yossi is not arguing even on the first case. And in the first case, it has nothing to do with how you formulated the words Iblo Bati, and then we could use the Iblo Bati Tnu, because in that case, he first said Iblo Bati, then Kitfu. Would Rabbi Yossi have argued even on that case? And what would be the logic of that case? Well, Omele Rav Yemel or Rav Ashi, is it possible that actually Rabbi Yossi is arguing across the board, both cases in the Mishnah, and the reason that he says it doesn't matter if they write the get before is because even if you write a get al tanai, it's kosher. So in other words, you don't need for the tanai to be mekuyam to be considered to have been authorized to write the get. You can write the get based on the tanai. And then when the get becomes valid, so then retroactively we say that the ksiva was valid. That's a different way of looking at it. If that would be the case, then it wouldn't matter whether you said, only after I come back, write and give the get, or whether you said, write and give the get after I come back. Because the issue would be not how you phrased it, but rather whether a get written on condition would be kosher anyway. Says the Gemara, no. The correct way to understand it is that Rabbi Yossi is not saying you can write a get al tanai even before its time. And all he's saying is that the way you phrased it, since you said the words, write the get, and then you said, give the get after I come back, it could be that the write the get wasn't connected to after I come back. And therefore, that was his far. So the Yoyalah Memelachop's apostle. I would tell you, that according to Rabbi Yossi, the first case is indeed possible, because you cannot write a get before the condition is ready. But Shani Yochad, this case is different because of the way that he said it. If he really didn't want you to write the get, he should have said that after I get back, then write and give the get. But instead, he said it in the other direction. So therefore, what he must have meant was, look, I don't care when you write it. You can write it now. But tenu imlo bati. So the word imlo bati was only going on the tenu. Mashen came the Rabbanan, who disagreed. And they said both cases you have to apostle a get that was written before the 12 months passed. Is they don't believe that the difference in the order is meaningful. When the person said that you should be kisvu vitnu after I get back, it's exactly the same as saying after I get back kisvu vitnu. Lo shnachiv lo shnach. Tana rabbanu. La'achar shavua. How do we understand the timing? We've been talking about a case if I don't come within 12 months. How about if a guy said if I don't come within this Shemitah period? La'achar shavua. So, La'achar Shavua would include the entire first year after the Shemitah. Because we always call that first year, that is to say the eighth year, so to speak, from the beginning of the previous Shemitah, is called after that Shemitah. So then that's what he meant. You have a full year. You need to wait in order to see whether the Tanai was Mekuyam. If a guy said after this year, then you wait 1 month after this year. If a guy said after this month, then you wait 1 week after this month. What about if you say after Shabbos? What does the meaning of after Shabbos? What days are after Shabbos? So Yosef Rebbe Zer Kamei de Ravasi, Varmila Ravasi Kamei de Rebbe Yochanan, and he said, as we know, Lagabi de Dinam of Avdola, Chad Bishaba Trei Vitlata, the first Yom Rishon, the second Yom Sheni, the third Yom Shlishi, those are all called post-Shabbat days. Masha'in Kain, Arba'a v'chamisha u'malei Shabbata, Yom Revi'i, Chavishi, and Erev Shabbat, those are called and are related to as prior to the oncoming Shabbos. So therefore, if by Yom Shlishi the husband hasn't come back, that is the Kiyum of the Tanai. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, if somebody says after the Regel, it's the guy says after Sukkot. How long after Sukkot does he mean? Shloshim Yom. Nafak Rebbe Chiya. So Rebbe Chiya went out and said on an, in a drasha, he said, Rebbe said, drasha mishmei de Rebbe, Rebbe said that if somebody says after Yontev, he means 30 days until the Tanai is post Tanai. Then he tried saying it over in a shir, just saying it stam mishmei de Rebbe. So he said, The Rabbanan say that you have 30 days. People did not like that. Why? Because they held that actually was not halacha. And therefore, if he said it in the name of Rebbe, that's fine. But if he says it in the name of the Rabbi, it's mashma that he's telling people that, that they should rely on the halacha. So apparently, Alma let Hilchat Akavate Hadron Aloch Kapitan. Hadron Alach Misha Al Chazon. This looks bad, Doc. Looks very bad. I don't know. Oh, there he is. Okay, he just made it. What's going on? That's a good start. That's a better start.
Is that where we are?
Huh? Oh, Richie. Oh, Richie. I see you're in the car. What are you doing in the car early in the morning?
I'm in the airport. I just picked up my family.
Airport. Face finished.
Airport.
Okay, regards to Yossi and Racheli. Have a safe trip back. Don't look at the screen while you're listening to the daf, and we'll see you soon. All right, wonderful. Okay, we're moving on now to a completely new issue. So now, Perek Shmini, the completely new issue is, what is the meaning of the pasuk of Vinatan Biyada? So it says, V'katav la sefer klizut, and put it in her hand. What does that mean, in her hand? How do we define a hand? Says the Mishnah, Zorek get l'ishto v'hi betoch beita, o betoch hatzera. So let's say, somebody throws a get to his wife while she's inside the house, or while she's inside the chatzer, and he throws it there. Is that considered to be your hand? Yes. Arezo Migureshet, because a chotzer is kena for her the same way that the hand is kena. We're going to see where we derive this from the pasuk. Now, how about if it's in his house and he throws this get to her in his house or in his chotzer? So then, if zorkula betoch beto betoch chatziro, I afilu hu ima bamita in a migureshet. She could be sleeping in a bed in his house. The get lands in the bed in which she's sleeping. Doesn't matter. It's still not a gerusha. It had to have actually gotten to an area that's considered to be an extension of her. So her chotzer is considered to be possibly an extension. We'll see what the din of the chotzer is coming up. And if it would land, let's say, on her body. So it would be l'toch hekad. Lands right there on her lap. O l'toch klata. Or she's got this little basket with her knitting things in it, then that would be also the equivalent of her own, even though it's in his house, and we'll see how that's possible. Arezu migureshet. So first of all, how do we know that the Torah doesn't mean exactly what it says? The Torah says, v'natan biyada. Who's to say that that doesn't mean precisely v'natan biyada? Mina ani mili. Where do we get that from? Who gives us the right to expand the concept of yada into these cases of beta, chatzira, and so on? That is not obvious on the surface, is it? The Tana Rabbana. Since the Torah said, v'natan biyada, I would have thought maybe that means literally, eli ela yada. How about if it's on the roof of her house, in her chotzer, in her karfefa, which is a chotzer is around the house, a karfef is just an area that she owns that's surrounded by a fence. How do we know? Talmud Lomar, v'natan, mikomakom. Now Rashi understands this to be a function of how the words are arranged. That when in Lashon HaKodesh you wish to stress the object of the verb, then you would always put it first. So in other words, let's say you want to stress it has to be her house. Then you would say, biyada yitnena. But if you say v'natan, which is a general verb, I don't know where that verb is going. And then you say biyada, so then the v'natan is first a general statement in which any type of netina would be okay. This is how Rashi understands. Tosfos understands that the point of the diuk is that v'natan would be a klal, biyada would be a prat, and then the continuing words v'shilcha mibeito is another klal. And therefore, klal, prat, or klal, we expand it to be anything which is similar to yada. And then we'll see what we mean by similar to yada. That's going to be a machlokas, how far we take that similarity. But in any event, there's a major difference here and in other places, like the one coming up right here, as we're going to see, by a ganav, Tosfos learns exactly the same way, not like Rashi. Tanya nami, achi gabi ganav. We have also, by the din of a ganav, we have the same halacha. Im himatze timatze biyado hagneva. What does biyado hagneva mean? So the chiyav of kefal that the Torah talks about is that it's in his hands. He took this thing. What does that mean? Let's imagine a case like this. The guy next door has a cow that wanders into this person's garage and he slams the door. The owner of the garage slams the door on the cow, and now it's locked in his garage. Did he steal the cow? Well, I mean, it wasn't biyado, was it? So is the garage considered to also be the same way it is by get? That if it's her garage, so then if he throws the get into her garage, it would be considered to be a proper gerushin. Would that be true as well, that it would be considered to be a proper, so to speak, proper in the sense of being the chayav yukefel, that it would be included? So gago, chatzero, karfefo, minayin, where he never came into direct contact with the cow that wandered in. He certainly didn't take it. So what would be the din over there? Talmud lomar, im himatze, timatze. So that additional language, himatze, timatze, is enough to add additional mitziyot. Now, Tosfos understands the idea of himatze, timatze as well, it's a clout, pride, or clout. Why? Because we have a rule that you can take the prat, which is over here, yado, you might say tibat sebi yado, and you can put that prat between the two klals, and Gavi's actually going to write this up for us, because this is a general rule, which is shadinan prat ben shnei klali. We could take a prat, yado, and put it between the himatse, timatse, and make it into a klal, prat, or klal. But again, Rashi learns here that this is actually just begetter, a ribui, and not a klal, prat, or klal. Now, why do we need, both by gittin and by geneva, to learn this halacha? That when the Torah says yado, it means whatever is included under the ba'alut of this individual. Says the Gemara, we need both of these dinim. We cannot derive that this is a general halacha, that if the Torah says biyado, it means his garage. Why? Because let's imagine that the Torah only told us this additional limud l'gabe gittin of the venatan biyadaw, according to Tezvus, the klal, prat, or klal, with v'shilcha. So I would have said, yes, I understand why that would make sense by gittin. Because remember that the Torah does not have the general rules of what it would take to give someone something by gittin. Because for Haraya, if this woman is saying, well, I don't want this get, I refuse the get, doesn't make any difference. You try to give somebody a gift, and the guy says, I don't want this gift, get out of here. I mean, he's obviously not going to be kainet. So that means that the Torah has very different standards for defining what is considered to be a nitina by the dinim of gittin. And in fact, there's a tremendous amount of discussion among the svarim that deal with the issues of nezikin, you know. So the famous ktseis on this issue, obviously, is the din of nesina to a woman. Does it relate it specifically to the dinim of kinyan? Because, I mean, we're not talking about a kinyan. We're talking about the act of nesina as opposed to the act of acquiring or what constitutes acquiring, right? So a lot of discussion among the achronim about how do those two things measure up and in what way do they relate to each other. Masha'in ke naganav. I mean, you can't throw something into the ganav's garage and say, okay, now you're a ganav, you know. I mean, yes, you know, the IRS can do this. They'll throw you an extra buck to put you into the next tax bracket. And you say, I don't want that, too bad stuff. Okay. But generally speaking, you can't do this to a ganav. So less about korche. So maybe the idea over there that biyado would mean very much real biyado. Maybe not. So imalo. So even if he went ahead and he wanted to steal it and he locked the door, but we have higher standards for defining the act of stealing, possibly. So therefore, I needed to know it by ganav. So you say, okay, so tell me just ganav. Ah, but yeah, shmina by ganav. I would say, well, listen, I mean, obviously the Torah does not like the idea of people walking off with ganeva. So therefore, the Torah was machmer on him. So it's like a knas. What? You're going to lock another guy's thing in your house? We'll call you a ganav, and that'll be considered himatse timatse. But, I mean, that's a bit like a getter of a knas, so to speak. Avo get, where we need to actually define the netina, maybe it's not good enough. It's actually tzricha. Kamash malan. Now, you say that a husband can actually be yotze nesina by throwing the get into his wife's chotzer. But hold on a second. Let's say that something would wander in, something of a hefker would wander in, would fall in to her chotzer. Would she be the owner or would the husband be the owner? The halacha is that the mitzia seisha and so on are for the husband. So, I mean, even if she would get it, right? I mean, mashikanta isha, kana ba'ala. What we're talking over here is nikse malug. True. And nikse malug, remember, she is the actual technical owner. But anything that is a product of that chatzar goes to the husband. So in what sense did he give it to her? He just basically put it into a place that he has the rights to. And how is that a netina? Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Elazar, you're actually correct. And it has to be talking about over here where the husband has actually removed himself from the rights to the peres of that chatzar. And he wrote her a shtar that says, Dinu dvorim ein li minechasayich. I am not going to have any claims against the nechse malug that you have. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. That's all very nice, except it doesn't work. We have a brighter that says, let's say you're a partner with somebody in a chutz, you know, and you say to him, write to him, dinu dvorim ein li al sodazu, or you say, ein li esig, it's not, no longer my business, or yadai misulakot emenu, I'm lifting my hands from this, leaving it to you. That has absolutely no ramifications legally, and it's considered to be completely his. If he wants to give something away, he has to give it away. You can't say, I'm out of here. What do you mean you're out of here? So what would it mean even to write to his wife, I have no claims against your chatzah? So the bottom line is, that doesn't work to remove your rights. By the way, there's another issue over here, and that is that even if you did legally remove your rights, it doesn't mean that you removed your rights from the peres. So as Tosis explains, it would have to be talking about that he added the words, Einli b'nechasayich v'lo b'perotehem. That way we avoid that problem. People are sort of taking for granted that we could deal with that issue. Anyway, so how does this work, Rebbe Elazar? Amri devei Rebbe Yanai, because he wrote this to her before they actually went to the chuppah. So since he only gets the rights to the property afterwards, so you're 100% right. Once he has the rights, you have to give it away as a gift. That's true. By the way, he obviously could have done that. And we don't need to go through all of this rigmarole. We could simply say, Rebbe Elazar could have said in the beginning, he writes her, I give you a gift of, and then for sure it would be okay. We're only going through the rigmarole, as Tosis points out, because this answer of Dinu Dvarim comes up in other places, so we want to use it over here and make sure that everybody is in touch with all of the issues that come up every time we say this. So we go through this whole rigmarole every time, but we don't need to. There's obviously legal ways of removing yourself from the chatzar, but I mean, I don't need Rebbe Elazar to tell me that. So as the Vei Rebbe Yanai says, in the event that prior to being zocha to it, you say, I don't want to be zocha to it. Now that's a completely different thing. It's not removing yourself from something that is already yours. And since over here he wrote that while they were just arusim one to another, and they hadn't yet been zocha in the property, k'rav kahana. The Omer of Kahana, Nachala, Haba'alo la'adami makom acher. When something is coming to a person not through a din d'oraisa, it's coming through a takana d'rabbana that they consider this to be the equivalent, let's say a Yerusha, and so on from a wife. Adam matneh aleha shelo yirashena. You could always say in advance that you don't want it, even though the din would be a Yerusha din. Even there you could say you don't want it. How is that? Yerusha is something that's automatic, and if the Rabbanan created something to be a Yerusha, it ought to function the way Yerusha functions, which is that it's not up to you, it's just a defined ownership. Ah, because of Rava. Rava, remember, we had this back very often in the days of Ksuvas. Suppose a woman does not want her husband to be paying for her upkeep, and she wants to have her own accounts, her own income, and not mix with her husband. There's no problem. She can easily do that. All she has to say is, look, the Rabbanan said that you're supposed to take care of me, and in exchange for that, anything that I work on or anything that I find goes to you. Well, I don't like that. And since the whole thing was only made for my benefit, I don't have to accept it. That's true. And that's exactly what Rava says. The Omar Rava, Ha'omer I Efshiba Takanat Chachamim. Anybody who says something that was made for my benefit, I don't want, Kagon Zo, and that's the Kagon Zo we're going to see in a minute, is talking about the case of the woman and her husband, Shomimlo, you can absolutely refuse to take a Takana made for you. They can force you to be good. You know, we're trying to make life better for you. You don't want it. And in your particular circumstances, it's not useful. By all means, don't take it. What was Rava referring to when he said, Kegon zo? Kedravuna amarav. The omaravuna amarav. Yechola isha shetomar lebaala. A woman can always tell her husband, I don't want anything from you and I don't want to give you anything. Eni nizonet ve'eni osa. I'll take care of myself. I'm making three times your stupid salary anyway, so why would I want anything from you? So therefore, in that case, it's perfectly okay and she keeps her own accounts. So therefore, over here also, the Rabbanan were giving you the right to the Nichsei Malug of your wife. You say, before it already came into your Rishus, you say, I don't want that right. Fine, you don't want that right? Nobody's got any problems with you. We're not going to demand that you accept the right. Okay, so that we're talking about over here, according to Rabbi Lazar, a specific case where you opted out of the right to control her property, and because of that, it's sort of weird to say that the Mishnah is talking about that in the event that the woman had such an arrangement, so then you could throw her the get, and the Mishnah like doesn't even indicate that it's an issue. Isn't that a little strange? So Rava says, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, you don't need this. You don't need this at all. Look, let's say that you would take the get and you would put it into her hand, right? And she says, I don't want this. Does it make any difference? No, we said that. The only question that you're asking me about is the question of whether her chutzer is an extension of her hand. That's all that we're talking about over here, right? So let me point out to you, says Rava, if you put it into her hand, don't you have rights to her hand the same way that you have rights to her chutzer? Because, I mean, she's working for you, right? So, otu yadami lo kanyalei labal, you could say, well, even if you put it in her hand, I mean, if she would pick up a mitziah, it would go to the husband, wouldn't it? So he really hasn't transferred it, so he owns the hand. So Ella, what are you going to say? How does it work to put the get into her hand that the Torah said is okay? Because gita v'yada ba'in ke'echad. This is another Gavi statement. Gita v'yada ba'in ke'echad means that even though it's a rather strange situation, because what you need to do is to simultaneously provide the rights that the get would provide, which provides the rights to get the get. And that, says Rava, must be the way it works. The same instant that the get comes into her hand, the get provides the rights for the hand to make the get, which gives her the get, which gives her the hand. So therefore, it's all one idea. So if that's true by the hand, so then we say the same thing by the chatzer. So Ravina heard that, said to Ravashi, I don't understand. What's Rava's problem with a wife's hand? A wife's hand doesn't belong to the husband. Just if she works with her hand, that goes to her husband. That's not the same as the chutzer with the agriculture of the actual body of the chutzer that we were asking. How Tosus understands it, that the actual body of the chutzer therefore belongs, because that's why we say sometimes if you hold kinyan peres it's kinyan aguf, because the idea is that you are the actual beneficiary of everything that's coming out of that chutzah. I mean, that's ridiculous to say about a hand. I mean, she's using her hand to take a shower, to brush her hair. I mean, what does that mean? How is that a question? What does Rava mean? It sounds silly. I mean, nihide kanilei lamasiya, that's all very nice that he is able to keep whatever it is that she earned. But, I mean, he doesn't own her hand. Yada gufa mi kanilei. What did Rava mean? Omar Lay, nah, Rava had a brilliant point here, but you missed it. Rava's point was that, remember, all along, the dinim of Gitei Nashim and the dinim of Shechrurei Avadim are exactly the same. We learn it out from the actual Gzeres Shava for a Shivcha, right? Okay, so if that's the case, then how do you explain the fact? This is actually a machlokus, but how do you explain the fact that according to the Mandi Omar, you can give a get shichrur to an eved directly? Now, we had this machlokus. Maybe you need to give it to someone else to be zoicha in it for the eved, since the eved is basically an extension of the master's hand. Over there, you do own the hand. So according to those shitas, Rava is saying, that you can actually give it directly to the eved's hand. How? It's just giving it into your own hand. So that means that we need to establish that there definitely is such a Gavi principle, which is Gita V'yada Ba'in Ke'echad, by the Eved. So if that's true there, so then that's true over here. That was the point, said Ravashi to Ravina. Rava is bringing a raya from Yad Ha'Eved Kakashaleh, according to Rav Yoma, that an Eved can be Meshuchrar with a Shtar Ayidei Atzmo. So he can take his own Shtar Shechrur. How is that? Is not Yada Eved ki Yad Rabo Damya? Ella, you're forced to accept the general idea, this concept of Gito Biyodo Bohin Keachat. So in that case, we can establish that principle, Legabe the Get Isha, when it comes to the Chatzar. We're over there, we have the same problem, and we can answer it by saying Gito V'Chatzera Bohin Keachat. So we had an actual fascinating story. A guy was very sick, and it's Erev Shabbos, and he has a get written for his wife as a Shchiv Meirah, Erev Shabbos. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't want his wife to fall for Yibum to his brother. And he had this get written, but it wasn't delivered yet. As it gets close to Shabbos, he gets this written, and there's no time to give it yet. You know, they're running the candles. Lo yispik l'meitava. And then on Shabbos, he suddenly feels his condition is getting very bad. He's afraid he's about to die. And what can we do? So l'machar takif l'yama. And he said, now, and what? That's a big question. So Rashi understands. That's a fascinating question here. Rashi understands if he had the get written, then that means that the get is here. It's with him. So what's the problem? Give her the get. Now, you'll say, you're not allowed to give Gittin or Kedushin on Shabbos. That's true. However, when it comes to a Shchiv Meirah, it was another one of the takanas for a Shchiv Meirah that to avoid the terror of his wife falling to his brother. And as we said all along, we have the other principle that it's in extremis and a woman is going to be stuck without a get. So we had all of those in extremis cases where we didn't have all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And we said, okay, nonetheless, go ahead. What the heck? You know, like the case of the guy in the pit and we don't really know who he is, or the guy who is about to leave to the caravan or whatever. So over here, we were matir giving a get on Shabbos. All right. So that's not the problem. So why not just give her the get? Ah, says Rashi, because the get is muktzah. Now, okay, that's a little bit funny, but all right. The get is muktzah, as the Rishonim talk out, but it's muktzah because it's muktzah machvas chisaron kis. He doesn't want the kids playing with the get. He doesn't want the get lost. So fine. So he's got this get in a special place. Maybe it's in a safe deposit box. So that creates the situation of muktzah. So what can he do? So, otel kami derava. So he comes. Now, by the way, you should just know that the Pnei Yoshua says, I have no idea why we have to assume that the get is with him. Maybe the problem is he couldn't get to the get on Shabbos. And now we're simply trying to figure out, how could I transfer the get to her on Shabbos? Okay. But whatever, all the Rishonim basically discuss it as if there's a problem with giving the get, which is accessible. Not like Rashi, that the problem is that the get is muktzah, but as the Rosh understands it, the problem is that to get the get to the woman, we would have to carry it through a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, we're unable to give the get. Okay, whatever the situation is, what could we do? So they rush to Rava to ask, is there some kind of heter to get this get to the woman? And he says, yes, you know what you could do? What you should do is give the room that has the get in it, make a kinyan, tell the woman that you're giving her this room, let her go and make a chazaka on the room. How could she do that? She could lock the door. Whatever, do something that will actually be a chazaka. So Tezer Lir, let her go, let her lock the door, let her open the door. And so that way she does an act of chazaka, because it says, Na'al, Gadal, Paratz, Koshu, Harezu, Chazaka. And then that would be fine. Now listen, guys, here the obvious question is, we're allowing you to give a get. We're allowing you to make a kinyan, which is usher on Shabbos, right? To make a kinyan, mechira, batana, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So why the heck can't we give it a get? This is why the Rosh says, look, it's got to be talking about that there's a problem in the arise of giving her the get. We'd have to take it through Rosh Hashanah. Rashi is telling us that in his opinion, the din of the muktzah on the get is a more chamor problem than the din of being matir, the actual kinyan of Gerishin, or the kinyan of the chutzer, or the room. So, in other words, and we've seen in Yonim like that in Masechet Shabbos, the hakpada on muktzah versus the hakpada on things that are shvus bi'alma and not the central shvus of Shabbos of similarity to hotzah, which, if you recall, the way we learned in Shabbos, that that's the central point of Shabbos. Okay, so the fact that we have a gezeira against making a chazaka, that doesn't bother Rashi. But the fact that you'd have to be metaltel amuk to get, that does bother Rashi. Fine. That's acceptable. Anyway, but that's what Rava said. So that's the way to get to her. Now that would mean that we're saying that that's an actual kinyan of the get. Remember, we can't say simply that at that point it becomes hers and therefore it's kona for her. Because that would be a problem of tli giteich mi'al gabei karka. The point over here is not that now you can be kona your get, but now I have been makna the get to you. So Rashi learns that this is begeter kinyan agav. Since nechasim she'en lam achrayut, meaning metaltalim, such as a get, are automatically transferred along with metaltalim she'yesh lam achrayut, real estate, that means that I actually gave you the get. And since we've established that you don't have to put the get in her actual hand, then this is a venatan in the theoretical biyada. Good? Okay. So now the taina on Rava was, Amar le revilish la Rava, but wait a minute. Even if you give her the room, you still have rights to the room because mashikanta isha kanabala. So now that you gave her the get, you've just put it back into your own room, basically, that you have rights to. How is that considered to be a proper kinyan? Oi. Rava hadn't thought of that, and he was very embarrassed. So, well, he was about to go out and admit that he had made a terrible mistake. But then they tell Rava, oh, you know, by the way, they were never actually fully man and wife because they never got to the chuppah. She was just an arusa. Oh, says Rava, saved by the bell. Because if she was only an arusa, so there was no problem. Because even if they said benogea anesua, that koma shekana isha kanabala, they never said that an arusa. And of course, I was talking about a case where she was an arusa, so it works out just fine. So Imam Ru, what, this is a kasha? Says Rava to Revilish. Imam Ru benesua, yom Ru barusa. So he was saved by the bell. But actually, as we know, it really wouldn't make any difference because Rava already told us the halacha that it can be gita v'yada b'in ka'achas, right? So then there wouldn't be a problem of komashkan ishkan abala. So afterwards, Rava said, I wasn't saved by the bell. I was right the whole time. Lo shna arusa, lo shna nisua, gita v'chatzira b'in ka'achas. It's a beferish agavi. So what's the problem? But wait a minute. So why was Rava so embarrassed? Rava had already said that to us. We just learned that, didn't we? Yeah, you just learned it. But Rava didn't just learn it. Rava figured it out because of this embarrassing situation. That's where he understood that that's the din. Mikora ki amra Rava, hai maisa amra. Was this event that actually taught Rava to be medayik this nekuda that gita v'yada boin ka'achas. Okay. Now, we said that she is supposed to be in her house. It says, v'hi betoch beita. She's in the house. And therefore, she's kaina. Now, what exactly that means isn't clear. Omar Ula. Look, the only time that she would actually be kaina is literally if she was in the house. So, who's omedet betzad beita u betzad chatzira? Because we've got a problem. The problem is that the woman has to be there when you give the get to her. Now, where will we get that from, that she has to be there? That we'll see in a moment. But this is the way that Ula holds. Now, Rebbe Oshaya says, no, what's the difference? It's her house. Afil hi betveria v'chatzira betzipori. Hi betzipori v'chatzira betveria. Since both of those are in Barnea's neighborhood, it's basically as a din of the same. No, that wasn't the story here. But it doesn't really matter because the issue is that it was already kaina for her. But how can you say that, Rav Oshaya? It says in the Mishnah of Farish, he betoch beita ubetoch chatzera. I mean, why does it say that? I mean, obviously, Rav Oshaya, you're wrong, and Ula is correct. No, 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 no. All it means is, Archikama, V'hi k'mi shetoch beita, V'hi k'mi shebetoch atzira. What is that coming to tell me? Teaching me that the chotzer has to be mishtameret l'da'ata. Now, there's two issues in a chotzer mishtameret l'da'ata. A, the chotzer is protected and it's not open for people to take the get out or to take something that came in out. That's mishtameret. But that's not all. We need that it has to be mishtameret l'da'ata. Let's imagine a case like this. She has an eved, and this eved is hers, and he's mishtamer. He's tied up, whatever. We're going to talk about precisely what makes it the da'ata. And now I put the get into the hand of the eved. So that should be the equivalent of yada, right? Wrong, because it's not l'da'ata. Since this eved has a mind of his own, he's going to decide what he wants to do with this get. If he wants to throw it into the fireplace, I mean, what's he going to do about that? So the bottom line is, when we say mishtameret, we always have to add the word mishtameret l'da'ata to deal with situations like that. Okay, fine. But the point here, obviously, we're not worried specifically about that, but what Boshai is pointing out is, of course, it has to be that she's there, meaning her control is there. The fact that she happens to own it is insufficient. Okay, that's all that the Mishnah means, according to Rav Hoshaya. Now the question is, all right, so what's the underlying issue between Ula and Rav Hoshaya? It would seem to be, Lema Bakamifli, I've got a beautiful explanation of this machlokas. How exactly does a Kinyan Chotzer work? Does a Kinyan Chotzer work as an extension of a Yad? Or does a Kinyan Chotzer work as a Shlichut? I mean, we've discussed this in other contexts. That seems to be the Machlokas. Apparently, Ula holds that a Chotzer is one of the things that the Torah teaches us in the extension of the idea of Yadda. So therefore, it's Be'a Mifgei, Mar Tzavim Shum Yoda Yitraboi, and therefore, Mar, the idea would be, as we understand, if I'm learning it out, that it's only to a Yad, well, I mean, her yad is always next to her. Umar Tzavah, no, it's not technically a yad. Rav Hoshaya holds that the din of a chotzer is the type of kinyan that a shliach would do. Shliach doesn't have to be there. So if that's the case, then the acceptance of the chotzer, she doesn't have to be there. Is that the whole machlokas? Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, I could say, lo, maybe everybody's made it that a chotzer is a yad. But I mean, what do we mean by a yad? You know, you can get very literal in these kind of things. So Ula holds, well, it is literal. Mar Savra ki yada. A yad, when we say, I mean, look what the word means. Al yada. What does that mean? Next to her. Right? It's a way of saying next to someone. So, okay, so if that's the case, if the Torah said v'natan biyada, so then that's gufa what it's saying. Just like a yad has to be smucha. So if this is a din of yad, it has to be smuchi. She has to be near it. Whereas Rav Hoshaya says, I mean, if you're going to be literal, then you should say that ma yada is bidvuka. Last I heard, everybody's hand is attached to their body. So therefore, the chotzer must be attached to her body. And I'd like to see you manage that, right? I mean, obviously, it's not literal. I mean, you can't decide at what point something is literal. To what extent it's literal. So the meaning of yada is like I say. The point of yada is that it is in my hands to take care. Does it mean in your hands to take care? No. It means it is in your power that you're able to be sholeit over it. Same thing over here. Ki yada. Ma yada is mishtameret l'da'ata. Av chatzira, as I explained, means it has to be mishtameret l'da'ata. And that's precisely what the Mishnah was coming to say when it says that she's there. Doesn't mean she's physically present. It means that her control is there. Now, there was a guy that threw a get to his wife, and she's standing in a chotzer. Now, it doesn't say whose chotzer this is. We're going to have to figure this out. She's standing in the chotzer. The get falls on this piece of wood that is lying in the chotzer. And it's this thick piece of wood. It's 3 tefachim high. So it's more like a block than just a board. So Rabbi Yosef says, okay, In order to see if that's kosher, you have to measure the board, or the block, we should say. If it's 4 amas long and 4 amas wide, then it's considered to be a different reshus than the chatzer, and therefore it's not good. But if it's not that big, it's just landing in the chatzer, and therefore it's okay. Can you explain to me what we're talking about? Whose chatzer is this? But my askina. I mean, if it's her chatzer, so what do I give a hang if it's a board, if it's a block, if it's a chair, a refrigerator? I don't understand. It's all basically her things. This is her chatzer. So who cares if it's Arba Amas al Arba Amas? Ridiculous. So it can't be talking about her chatzer. That's a given. Okay. So then it's talking about his chatzer. So if it's his chatzer, I thought we said if he throws it into his chatzer, even if he throws it into the bed where she is in his house, it's not going to be enough. So why would it be good? It wouldn't be good at all. So who cares? Even if it's not Arba Amot, it still is not a good get. It's not in her property. It's in his property. Something's funny over here. The idea is this. He told her, I am lending you the place in my chatzer so that you should be able to be kind of the get when I throw it to you. But I certainly don't want to get near to you to hand it to you. Blech. Okay? So I'm lending you the place. Now he throws the get to her, and the get lands on this block, right? So that's the issue. So if the block is considered to be a reshus bifnei atzmai, and it's cholek reshus latzma, so then he'll say, well, I tried, but you weren't in the I didn't give you two places, did I? I gave you one place. I mean, heck, I'm supposed to lend you two places to be going to get out of here. So therefore, where she is not the place that he had lent her. So if he had lent her a place that's within the same chutzner, okay, I said that you could use my chutzner to be kaina. But in this case, I never said you could use this block and my chutzner. I gave you one place. What do you think? This is like carte blanche? That's what you did with my credit cards, honey. This is not carte blanche. Okay. So therefore, chad mako mushli inchi, trey mikomot lo mushli inchi. But this is only if this block was not 10 tefachim high. If it was 10 tefachim high, then it's a reshus b'fnei atzmo, even if it's not 4 amas by 4 amas, even 4 by 4 tefachim is considered to be a reshus b'atzmo. Furthermore, it's only if it doesn't have a specific name. Let's say that this area is called the firewood block, right? So I store all my firewood on this so that it doesn't get wet. So then for sure, it would not be considered part of the chatzer because it goes by a different name. And if I said I lent you the chatzer, I never meant that I lent you my holy firewood block, for heaven's sakes. So in that case, even if it wouldn't be gavua asura and it wouldn't have arba amos, it would not have been a proper nisinat saget. Whew. Okay, amazing. So we're well into a whole brand new world and looking forward to having an opportunity to continue. We'll see you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Bisurot Tovot, as we get closer to Tu B'Av and to everything that is thereby implied.